your say. 1-300-872-911. Macca's Talking Cans. Thanks to Pacific Toyota. Better service, better range, better by far North Queensland. On 846-4CA.
Now, there's an interesting little article here across 4 and 5 of the Canterbury Post today. It's about this orgy of juvenile crime. There's a picture of what they did at the library a couple of months ago, whatever it was. It's under the heading, Acts of Vandalism Prompt Call for More Community Service Mandates. Community Service Mandates. They call this tough love. This is giving them scrubbing brushes to go and scrub off their filth, and they call that tough love, fair dinkum. It's farcical, isn't it, what's become of this world? Anyway, it reads here, tough love toothbrush teams could be out on scrubbing patrol a lot more frequently if Far North victims of crime have their way. Extreme cases of senseless property damage have been on very public display in recent months. I won't come on with all the details. Here's an example. We do remember, of course, Pyramid Power going back a while, back to 2019. That was out Gordon Vale Way, a clubhouse virtually burnt to the ground, and we followed the legal proceedings, which fundamentally didn't provide any sort of deterrent to anybody. And what happened? It continued on and on. All the clubhouses around the southern suburbs were copying it. Just senseless vandalism, confrontations. In this particular case, it says here, the JCU Strikers Soccer Club's new $400,000 facility at Warree. It's been repeatedly broken into since its construction last year. Vandals have scorched motifs into furniture, spray-painted walls, smashed glass bottles and left syringes lying around where the children play. A volunteer even had a knife pulled on him. This is de rigueur today. When I'm 16 now, I'm going out, I'm tough. I always, when I get dressed to go out, look tough and stick a knife in my back pocket, aware if they carry it. It's almost automatic now. With so many of these kids, they carry a knife. Remember, we were going to get the magic wands the police were going to have and they'd be able to check kids for knives? Whatever happened to that? They were going to have the anklets. Hundreds of them were bought off, thousands of them. How many have they applied since that came in a year and a half or so ago, a year ago? Four. Four across the whole state. It's a joke. It's an insult. Anyway, it goes on to say that a volunteer had a knife pulled on him when he approached a pair of teenage boys who were tagging walls with aerosol paint cans. It goes on and on and on. I'm going to hark back to the Pyramid Power effort because I thought it was a tragedy. What happened? Because the club couldn't get it going again. It was burnt to the ground or damaged beyond repair or whatever, and it just all fell apart, and it was such a tragedy for the kids, for the families, etc. But I think there's some good news emerging, would you believe, after whatever it is, 3 years, I suppose. I've got the president, Pyramid Power, AFL, on the line, Jimmy Floyd. Hello, Jimmy.
Yeah, g'day, John. How are you?
How long since we last spoke, do you think? Would it be 2 years plus?
Mate, look, the incident that we had happened on Australia Day of 2020. So that was, 2019.
Yeah.
2019. Yeah. So, just over 3 years ago.
Yeah, there you go. Now, talk to me, Jimmy. At the time you were on this program and you were heartbroken because this precious club, precious to you, precious to families and, of course, precious to the kids, had to fold. Just hark back to after the disaster. We can't talk necessarily in depth about the legal proceedings, as disappointing as they might have been in providing deterrent to other kids to burn places down or smash them up.
Yeah.
Talk to me about the club itself. It went to the wall. How did that happen?
Obviously with the clubhouse getting totally gutted, it made it, it was impossible for us to use the facility anymore for around about 6 to 12 months. We trained at Jarrigan College, the local college nearby, but we didn't really have a clubhouse facility or anything like that. It was really good of them to be able to offer that facility. But it just wasn't the same, John. It was, it's just like taking away your house, really, and it was pretty damn tough from then on in. And, I mean, even for all clubs, things are tough enough as it is without, something like this happening. And when this did happen, it really did make it very difficult for us, as far as, retaining players and volunteers and all that sort of thing goes, it was tough. But we did sort of keep on carrying on there for probably another season or two. And then unfortunately, in my opinion, our governing body at the time didn't offer enough assistance to us to continue on. In two aspects, in both the facility itself and also in development of the club and resources, etc. So there was plenty of money and resources offered and taken by two other clubs at the time who were really struggling, inner city clubs. And good on them. I mean, they were successful in gaining assistance from the governing body. But for whatever reason, for us, there just seemed to be a lot of disinterest in our club. And I was extremely, and all our committee, we were extremely disappointed in how our club was treated at the end. So we were just basically left to die. So we wound up the club around about 12 months ago. It hasn't actually formally been totally wound up yet. So we actually gave away a lot of our resources and things like training equipment, fridges, freezers, barbecues, just a whole heap of different equipment, everything that was salvageable from the fire. And that we actually ended up buying some more stuff. We kept going for a couple of more seasons.
Yeah.
But because we were basically, dissolving, we gave it away to other not-for-profit organisations, other sporting clubs like soccer and rugby league and tennis, et cetera. So we gave a lot of stuff away. We also had a bank. We had a reasonable sum of money in the bank account at the time, and we donated that to a not-for-profit organisation within the AFL as well too, so a foundation that provides footies and reading books to disadvantaged kids throughout Australia. So the money that we ended up saving over a long period of time, for a rainy day, it just didn't end up really. Yeah, all gone. So, and it was disappointing how it all happened. And look, it is in my opinion that. We weren't offered as much assistance or any assistance to actually keep the club going. So it was, the whole thing was disappointing, as well as the fire. That was devastating. And we can talk about, repeat offenders and what's been going on. I mean, here I am now. This is 3 years on, John. And, prior to this, it's probably been going on for 10 or 20 years anyway, all this juvenile crime. And, why are we still sitting here today discussing about these incidents that are happening and everybody says, we've got to draw a line, something's got to happen. Where's the consequences? We keep on saying it and saying it, John, but there's nothing happening. I mean, where do we draw the line? It's just ridiculous. And you know what? It's got to start from our government. We're part of the United Nations. I understand that. And we've got to be, empathetic and all that sort of thing to young people and that. And I understand that. Look, I work in the industry and there are some kids that really do it very tough. They really do. They've had such tough upbringings and such tough lives. And, they haven't got positive role models sometimes as far as parents or uncles or aunties or anything like that goes. And I'm not talking about Indigenous, non-Indigenous, anything. It's everybody, You can't cast a spell over anybody, just the one particular group. It is, it goes on everywhere.
But, Jimmy, there's no intervention. There's nothing working. The victims are out there in their thousands in our city. And nothing is being done to curtail this disgusting behaviour. The misery is untold because no one seems to be interested in the victims. The justice system, the juvenile justice system, couldn't give a stuff about the victims. It's all about the offenders. The little bastards breaking into the home, smashing up cars, destroying lives of families. I mean, the justice system, they're in and out in half an hour or whatever, out of custody, out on bail. straight to another stolen car, straight to another break-in. Who cares? Not the state government.
Repeat offenders. No, not the state government. And you know what? How can you fix a problem if you do not admit there's a problem? Mm. And this is the problem with the state government. They do not admit there's a problem. Yeah. They can bend and change figures and say, oh, no, look, things are actually looking a lot better. Mm. And, you know, they can change things any way they want. And they won't admit there's a problem. So there's no way in the world that you can fix a problem unless you firstly admit there's a problem.
Oh, exactly.
And that's where our communities have got to come together. We've got to stop being apathetic about things because, look, Australians are, in a way, apathetic, particularly when it comes to election of governments and that sort of thing. We've got to start voting about what we're on about.
Yes.
You know, we've got to put up our hands and do it because they are not admitting to a problem. Mm. And there is a problem. We all know there's a problem. We keep on banging on about it for years and years and years,
yeah,
and still nothing's done. You know?
Exactly.
It's sickening. And what happened to our club? You know, that was sickening. You know, that was repeat offenders. That was two 14-year-old boys, two 14-year-old girls, basically.
Mm.
You know, burned down our clubhouse.
Mm.
Fantastic.
Mm.
You know, that was their hobby. So rather than kids having music and sport and going fishing and something like that, their hobby is to walk around and do destruction and, you know, hurt people if they can or hurt property or
It's still happening
like
everywhere.
That.
It's still happening to these
it's
sporting clubs it. All over the place. That's what this story is about today in the Cairns Post.
Yeah, I do a lot of work in Townsville too, John, and like Townsville's pretty damn bad as well as Cairns, et cetera, et cetera. You know, Mareeba. You know, but it's all over Australia as well. But I tell you what, Queensland and up here, in the north,
yeah,
we are recognised as being some of the worst in the country.
Of course.
And the state government, it's, you know, I don't know, John. You know, like when elections happen, we've got to stop being apathetic and we've got to start voting for what we all believe in and for what we all talk about. The trouble is, we don't.
No.
And, you know, we need leadership. We need strong people out there who are willing to stand up and be leaders and get people to fall, you know, come behind them and support them and, make these people accept consequences. Make the government accept consequences of what they're doing.
Mm, exactly.
You know?
Jimmy, what's happened with the club?
Okay, sorry. Now, on a positive note, we're actually resurrecting. So, unbelievably, Pyramid Power is about to reform. It's going to be a transformation. So, we will not be joining the AFL Cairns League because they wouldn't have us anyway.
Okay.
But we are going to be we're going to be taking part in carnivals around Australia. We're going to be visiting some of the major cities in Australia. We're going to be doing a jaunt to Alice Springs at the end of June this year,
yeah,
and visiting an Indigenous community and running some clinics in the Indigenous community.
Yeah.
So it's not going to be a high time consuming thing. It's only going to be a couple of carnivals a year for our club. So our club is going to reform. The boys who are loyal and the girls who are real loyal to their club, they don't want to play for anybody else. They just want to play for Pyramid Power. And the community behind it, the community are way behind us. You know, there's been other talk of other things happening with AFL within the Gordon Vale and surrounding community, but everybody's still behind Pyramid Power. I've got sponsorships organised from the local businesses in Gordon Vale for what we're doing. We're starting up the community program again, the Pyramid Power Community Program, which has got five key aspects, and we've already started a couple of years ago. We went to the aged care facility in Gordon Vale, the Pyramid Retirement Centre, and we played bingo with the residents. This is teenage boys and girls, mind you, that were doing this.
Yeah.
They're dressed in their Guernseys. They go to the aged care facility. We play bingo with the residents. We're going to help with Anzac Day, the next Anzac Day next year. We're going to be helping with the Great Pyramid Race. So we assist where they need help with that. We're going to be visiting the Cairns Base Hospital, the children's ward.
Yeah.
And, you know, our youth will be talking to the kids there. And we're also going to be doing a fundraiser for a couple of the kids at the children's ward of the Cairns Base Hospital, like as in having a helicopter flight or a reef trip or something like that.
This is unbelievable.
That's what we're going to do now. We're not going to be We're not going to be part of a competition that doesn't want us. So we're going to be doing our own thing, and there is going to be pyramid power, Australian rules.
Wonderful.
And Sporting Club Incorporated again.
What a great story.
It's happening, and there's no stopping us.
Oh, wonderful. Jimmy, when you get an opportunity, can you get a list done of those sponsors out there? This sponsorship effort is just superb, and those people have joined in. Get it to me, and we'll tell the world about the people who are supporting you out there. It's a great story. Yeah.
Thanks so much, John.
This is inspirational, Jimmy. Inspirational, what you've been able to do.
Well, it's not just me. This has been driven by a lot of the players that played for us who are frustrated because they got nowhere else to play or they don't want to play for anybody else.
Yeah.
They're loyal. They want to play for Pyramid Power. That's what it's about. You know, we're like family to them. And, you know, their family was taken away.
What a brilliant, brilliant effort. Oh, this is taking my breath away. Now, Jimmy, just bloody wonderful. Jimmy. Make sure you stay in touch. Get me that sponsorship list if you can.
I will.
And
I will.
We'll say thanks publicly to all those people who are getting behind you to give you the wherewithal to get going again. But it's the spirit of your community that is the strength, obviously, from what you've said.
Yeah, and we're going to have a lot of fun too, John. It's going to be a really positive thing. So it's going to be a lot of excitement. It's going to be something that no one's really ever done before. And it's totally new, and we're going to have a lot of fun doing it. So, yeah, thanks very much to all your listeners.
Oh,
and please remember about the apathy, and don't be apathetic.
Yeah.
You know, put your hands up.
Put your votes in,
and let's try and take the governments to task, the families to task as well, the mothers, the fathers, the uncles, whoever these kids, because some of these kids are good kids. They just need direction. They need help. But, you know, we just don't give them the boundaries or the opportunity to be able to do it. And, kids are kids. Kids can only learn from adults. So let's teach them. Let's show them the way.
Jimmy, this has been wonderful. Thank you. Jimmy Floyd on the line. He's the president of Pyramid Power out at Gordonville. Just quickly, this